Our reading for Thursday, August 6th, comes from Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But if sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness, for apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So if I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So let's think about chapter 7 here for a moment. He starts off with "or." And that means he's again, as we've talked about every time we start a chapter, continuing a thought. So verse 23 of chapter 6, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Then chapter 7, verse 1, "Or do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law," which that would have been primarily the Jews, "that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives." And then he uses this illustration about marriage. I want to make something very clear here. Paul is using an illustration here. He's not teaching about marriage and divorce in the middle of this discussion. He's using something that they were familiar with in order to illustrate a point. Now, an illustration doesn't work if no one has a reference point. If I illustrate using something that absolutely no one has any understanding of, and I'm not able to explain it so they do understand it, then the illustration does not work. Nothing has light shed upon it. Nothing becomes known. So he uses something that they're already familiar with, that is the law of marriage and the idea that, well, if your husband dies or your wife dies, then you will be free from that marriage and you can marry another. He uses that to illustrate a point. So that's what he's doing here in the beginning of chapter 7, talking about marriage and then death and then remarriage, and this idea here of being an adulteress if they live with another while the husband is still alive. So verse 4, having given that illustration, he says, "Likewise, you also. So this illustration about marriage is drawn directly to them. Likewise, you also have died to the law. Okay, just like in that marriage, a death within the marriage. You have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. You've been freed from the law so that you can belong to another. And that is another covenant. To him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. So you died to that old Mosaic law, and now you live under this covenant of Christ. That's what he's telling them. Then we get into verses 5 and following, and people lose track of what Paul is illustrating here. First, let me sort of jump ahead a little bit to the end of the chapter where he's talking about verse 15, I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want. I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. It's no longer I do who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I want us to realize that Paul tells us that he's just like we are. That we decide, I want to live for Christ. And after reading chapter 5 and chapter 6, that should be our conclusion. I want to live for Christ. I want the gift of God, which is eternal life. I don't want to be in sin. I don't want to have the cloud of death hanging over me. I want to overcome death through Jesus Christ. That should be what we're thinking. But the fact is, that old man of sin that we put to death, He comes back to haunt us, if you will. He comes back to life. And he causes problems. And so we decide, I want to do what is righteous. But because we live in this fleshly existence, we undergo temptations. And sometimes we're not successful in resisting those temptations. And we succumb to them. And it's not that we make a choice, I want to sin. But it's that we end up doing those things. So I want us to realize that Paul tells us, he's just like we are. Paul's not some super Christian that never sinned and never was tempted. He is faced with the same things you and I are. So having made that statement, let's go back to verse 5. He says, while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. He's not saying that just because we're under Christ, we don't face that difficulty anymore. We do. But he's illustrating something about the law that we need to understand, that the Jews very much needed to understand. So let's just recap a little bit. In chapter 3, Paul told the Romans that the law cannot save them. And in chapter 4, he made the point, verse 15, that it makes us more guilty than before by outlining the boundaries and making evident what sin is. Chapter 5, sin increased. And then chapter 6, we need to leave it behind and embrace the way of grace under Jesus. And now, here in chapter 7, he adds to this and says our sinful passions are even increased or aroused by the law. So is the law the problem? That's where we end up. The problem really is us. The problem is the human heart. The problem is this fleshly existence in which we are tempted by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The problem is that man is rebellious and we have a heart problem, where it's not attuned toward them. The enemy isn't the law. The enemy is sin. Paul then uses the idea of being covetous as an example about how the sin is exposed by the law. So he basically says, I didn't even know that I was coveting until I'm told, don't covet. It's not that you never desired anything before, but it's that the law showed you that it was a sinful desire, that it showed you that coveting was coveting. He is expressing that sin is such a terrible thing, and does that make the law terrible? Does that make the law the problem? No, that doesn't make the law the problem. The problem is still the sin. That's why he says in verse 7, what shall we say, that the law is sin? By no means. So it's important that we understand what he's conveying. He gets into verse 8 and he says, sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Does that mean that he never desired anything before the law? Does that mean that there's no sin if there was no law? Because if you accepted that premise, then that would put the fault on God for giving us a law. God should just not give us any law and then there wouldn't be any sin. That's not what he's saying. It's interesting the way that he presents sin and presents sin as our adversary, which it is, but sin is something we commit. But the way he presents it is like it's a predator that's chasing us. It's something that we've got to fight off or even defend ourselves from. And really, sin is that dangerous, though. Sin will be a predator toward our spiritual life. It will kill our spiritual life. It will kill our righteousness. But it's not the law that's the issue. The law simply made it apparent to us and exposed it to us. Verse 12, the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Then verse 13, did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin. It was sin that was the problem, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and though the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh under sin. As long as we live in this fleshly existence, sin is always going to be a problem. It's always going to be a temptation for us. It's always going to be an adversary for us to do battle with. And that's when he gets into what I mentioned, this idea of battling within us, the spiritual side versus the fleshly side. And spiritually, this is what I want to do, but in the flesh, well, I've got these, you know, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I've got these things in my fleshly existence. And so what I want to do as a fleshly being is opposed to what I want to do as a spiritual being in Christ. When I've made the choice to be in Christ, I've made the choice to turn my back on sin. But that doesn't mean that I don't still have desires. We do. And for us to say that we have no desires, that wouldn't be useful for us. It wouldn't be beneficial. We need to own up to the fact that we have those desires. And we need them to be exposed so that we can be honest, truthful, and we can defend ourselves. I need to know my adversary. I need to know my difficulty. I need to know what my desires are in order to be able to overcome and do spiritual battle against these things. So that puts him at verse 21 when he says, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. And that's true. When we want to do right, there's always going to be that temptation that exists. So verse 22, I delight in the law of God in my inner being, that's our spiritual nature, but I see in my members, our fleshly side, another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. And then he says, you know, this is such a wretched state to be in. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from this fleshly limitation and this fleshly existence that has this sinful desire? Well, who's going to deliver us? It'll be Jesus Christ. Jesus has been the answer all along. Why would it be any different here? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who will deliver me from this body of death. That's what he's saying. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. He's not saying that we have license to sin. He's not saying that it's okay to sin. And he's not saying that, well, I'm going to sin anyway, so why fight it? No. He's just accepting that there's going to be this battle between the two sides. And knowing that that battle exists is part of the solution. And so with that recognition, he's going to move into chapter 8, and that will be for our next reading. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.